Let me tell you what's fun. It's fun getting ready to preach on Mother's Day and then having lots of time out in public to get to watch mamas in action. I'm learning something about mamas in action. They have to say no a lot. Some mamas mean it. And other mamas, it seems to be like a suggestion. Somehow the children pick up on that, as you can imagine. But there's, regardless, no is always on the tongue of mamas. No, don't put that in your mouth. Don't put that in your nose. Don't draw on that wall. No, don't leave my hand. Don't leave this stroller. Don't hit your brother and sister. Whatever the case, lots of no's. And I know on some days for mamas, you think it's the only word that you say to your children. But on behalf of your children, I want to say thank you for saying no and for making it stick. We don't want it to be the only thing you say for sure, but it is an incredibly important thing for you to say. I have been called by Jesus Christ to do one thing. To know one thing. To speak of one thing. And that is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's no different on Mother's Day. This morning, we're going to see very practical instructions from the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul to children and to parents. But what I want you to be very clear on is that all of this flows directly from the gospel. Paul preaches one thing. He is like a broken record that keeps repeating one line over and over and over again. He is, as Ryan Fullerton said 7 years ago now, that the Apostle Paul was like a guitar with one string. It's one thing over and over. He opens his mouth with one message, and that message is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And so this morning, as we think about family life, practical instructions, I want to be very clear that Paul's not changing the subject. He's preaching Christ. Everything. This is how God would help us, that we would learn to do all of life, but all of family life, out of this gospel. That in our interaction with our children, our interaction with our mothers, our fathers, our interaction with our spouses, everything, that our family life would reflect the gospel. That our family life would rely on the gospel. And in all the ups and downs of family life, that we would rest in the gospel. If I leave you this morning with nothing else, I hope I leave you with this. And this morning I'm going to be addressing mothers, but I certainly hope that daddies and grandparents and aunts and uncles and children's workers and even older siblings will be listening in. And here's what I want to say directly to mothers. That is that you are engaged in a cosmic work of incalculable value. We live in a culture that wants you to think that what happens outside the home is of more honor and more dignity than what you're doing in your home. But it is a lie. Your work to invest God's truth in children is a cosmic gospel work. Think about this. Think about Ephesians. We're going to look at the book of Ephesians this morning. So you can go ahead and turn there. Think about our memory verses. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the kind intention of His will. God has chosen His people to be holy and blameless and beyond reproach. But I want you to keep in mind that God uses you, Mama, to play a major role in bringing that to pass. God wants to... He's choosing children for Himself, that they would be holy and blameless. But He doesn't snap His fingers and makes that happen. He uses means. And one of the primary means that He uses to make that happen is you. It's exactly what Tony read to us before, that here Paul, he looks to Timothy and he says to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, listen, this faith existed in your mother and in your grandmother. And listen to what he says in chapter 3. He says, you continue in the things you've learned and have become convinced of, knowing from you whom you have learned them, and that from childhood, from his mother and from his grandmother, you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So you tell me, who saved Timothy? Who saved Timothy? Who said it? God did. And here's my question. Who did God use in the salvation of Timothy? His mother and his grandmother. Faithful parents and grandparents who teach and model the gospel day after day in a bazillion different ways to their children is how God is at work so often in order to create for Himself a people who is holy and blameless and beyond reproach. So this morning, mamas, and again, I hope daddies and grandparents and children's workers and older brothers and sisters are listening to this, but mamas, your work is a critical, cosmic work that God is doing through His people. So this morning, I don't have one text. What I really want to do is just do a flyover of the book of Ephesians. And I'll just say there's one highly respected Christian counselor who said, I've never faced a single issue that I could not find the answers to in the book of Ephesians. If you just read the book of Ephesians, one reason why we're memorizing it, and I keep wanting to go back to Ephesians if we have extra time, because I want us to have this book in our hearts. But this book, if you just read this book as a parent, you will see incredible wisdom coming from the book of Ephesians. But this morning, I just want us to look at three things. I want us to see the cosmic goal of faithful parenting. I want you to see the compassionate example that we've been given of faithful parenting. And then finally, I want you to see three crucial foundations for faithful parenting. Cosmic goal, compassionate model, crucial foundations. Notice with me first the cosmic goal of faithful parenting. And for that, again, we'll just go to our memory verse. Look at chapter 1, verse 9. It says that He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. Now, that's big language, but let's just be reminded. Paul is saying, listen, God has a massive plan. God is working a plan on planet earth. And that plan is this, chapter verse 10, to sum up all things in Christ, to bring everything in line under Christ. I think that verse 22 is helpful to put handles on this when it says, and he put all things in subjection under his, under Christ's feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church. That's what parenting is all about. That's what faithful parenting, our ultimate goal is to see our children living under Christ, because that is the cosmic goal of the universe. All things, the Bible says, were created by Jesus and for Jesus. Our kids don't belong to us. They cost us lots of money. They cost us lots of time. But they are not ours. We parents are, as the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians, we parents are servants and stewards. This is very important because our kids are not our slaves. Our kids are not our source of meaning and purpose. Our kids are not to be the building blocks of our identity. And certainly our children are not to be idols that we worship. And then we go to the Bible and we use God in order to help us to worship our idols. No, our children belong to Jesus Christ. They were created for Jesus Christ, and we are His stewards, we are His servants, in order to direct them to a life of worship under Christ. That's the goal of our parenting. So this morning, I don't have an eloquent poem that will stir your emotions about the beauty of motherhood. Here's what I have. You have been given a mission that is linked to the mission of God Almighty, to raise children by God's grace who live under Jesus Christ and have their worship directed toward Him. This is the cosmic goal of faithful parenting. Notice with me second that we've been given, thankfully, a compassionate model of faithful parenting. Parenting is hard work. Somebody say, amen. Parenting is hard work. Parenting is time-consuming work. Parenting is sacrificial work. But parenting was never meant to be a lonely work. I want you to notice in the book of Ephesians how God ties our work as parents to our children with God's work as our Father to His children. I'll just give you just a little sampling, but there's the references to family are all over the book. Just look at chapter 1, verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God. And how's He described? Our Father. Look at verse 5. He predestined us to adoption as sons. Verse 11. Also, we have obtained an inheritance. That's parental language. That's the language of children. And as the book of Ephesians unfolds, it makes clear that this family that we've been brought into is a family in which grace reigns. Just read through the book of Ephesians and highlight every time he uses the word children. Let me just show you real fast. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, look at it, children of wrath, even as the rest. But look at what God did. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ. Look over to chapter 4, verse 32. He says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Look at verse 8. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Verse 10. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. We talk about this all the time, but I long for God to get this into our hearts. For every believer, our story is exactly the same. We were children of wrath, justly deserving His displeasure. Our sin is very real. And God's justice, God's character cries out for justice. But God, in lavish grace, came to earth and bled in our place to make us, from children of wrath, to make us beloved children. And then, if that's not enough, look at the result. He then sends us out with His blessing as children of light to walk and to live as children of the light. Deserving wrath, forgiven through the blood of Christ, loved as children, and then sent out with the blessing of God to live as beloved children. God wants us to drink deeply of this gospel. To know this gospel. And then to pour it out every day on our children. So with that in mind, here's what I want us to do. I want us to sit at the Father's feet, and I want us to learn from Him three crucial foundations of faithful parenting. I want to draw your attention to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Notice what the Apostle Paul says. He says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Just notice that this is a clarion call for us to learn to parent our children the way the Father has parented us. Be imitators of God as beloved children. So this week, as I just read through the book of Ephesians, I wrote down three, and I'll call them foundations of faithful parenting. And I didn't really mean for it to turn out this way, but I was kind of happy it turned out this way. It kind of made a nice little acrostic. T-L-C. Now, if that's cheesy to you, that's fine. As long as this cheesiness helps you to remember these three foundations of faithful parenting that we can look to our Father and learn. T-L-C. We need to notice that when God parents us, He parents us through teaching, through loving, and through correcting. Teaching, loving, correcting. And you can see this all over the place. You can just jot down chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. You can see this in chapter 4, 1 through 6. You can see this in chapter 4, 11 through 16. You can certainly see it in chapter 4, verse 17 through verse 29. But let me just give you one example. Look at chapter 4, verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice as a fragrant aroma. Can you see him clearly teaching his children the truth and what he wants them to do with it? You look at this passage and just listen to the Father teaching us, be kind to one another. Forgive each other. Be imitators of God. Walk in love. That's a teaching. But there's also correction. Look at verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. And all of this is done in a climate of love. Verse 32, just as God in Christ has loved you, be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love just as Christ loved you. So he teaches his children. He corrects his children. But he's doing it always in the context of you are loved already. You're loved before you get this. Teaching, loving, correcting. Let me show you one more place. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Do you see the teaching? Children, obey your parents. Where's the correction? Fathers, you need to make sure that your children are learning to obey their parents. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. But notice that all of this is done in the context of love, because as he teaches his children to obey their parents, he offers it with a promise so that it may go well with you and that you may live long on the earth. This seems so simple. But I believe it's profound. Paul is being polemical, which means that Paul is directing us one way, and he's doing that to direct us away from other paths that we could go down. In other words, as Paul teaches us to teach our children and to love our children and to correct our children, every time he's making a correction. So let's just think about these one at a time. Think about this calling for parents, for mamas to teach their children. If we're going to parent the way God parents, then we must teach our children. And again, this sounds so obvious, right? Of course you've got to teach your children. But here's my question. Is that obvious? This is really kind of going against two things that I see active and well in our culture. And the first thing is busyness. Somebody raise your hand if you have children and you are not busy. Raising children is busyness. And notice, in the midst of the busyness, is it not a temptation for us every day to get so busy that we neglect to teach? And here's the other thing that Paul is directing us away from, though, is that we live in a culture that tells us that we ought to raise our children and let them make up their own mind about what they're going to believe about God. So whether it's busyness or this ridiculous notion that we need to let our children make up their own mind about God, we are if we're not passing on not just the Bible's doctrine, but passing on a clear demonstration that this matters because I am passionate about it, if we're not doing that, then we're standing in direct contradiction to what God has told us to do as parents. Think about this from Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today, listen to this, shall be on your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Psalm 78, he established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children, that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. And we certainly have it here in chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but notice what He commands us to do. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. I just want to encourage you with one thing. If you're a parent and you don't know where to start in teaching your children, I encourage you to start where God starts. Let's think about this. What is the single commandment in the book of Ephesians? But you can almost say this about the whole Bible, that there are commandments directly related to the proverb in the Proverbs, but a lot of them can be summed up in this. What is the one commandment in the book of Ephesians that is directed squarely, intentionally to children? Obey. If you don't know where to start teaching your children, teach them to obey. Are you teaching your children to obey? The culture is not going to teach them to obey. The single command that God gives to children to obey. God wants children to obey their parents. Why? I just jotted down a few reasons. Number one, He wants children to learn to obey their parents because He loves His glory. When a child refuses to obey their parents, it is because they are living for their own glory. Jesus is King. We need to teach our children to obey, because if our children don't obey us whom they see, they'll never obey the one that they can't see. Number two, God wants us to teach our children to obey because He loves order and unity. Do you remember the cosmic plan of God? The cosmic plan of God, the thing God is doing in the universe, is to sum up all things in Christ, to bring all things under the headship of Christ, to unite all things under Christ. But you show me a home where obedience is not taught and trained, and I'll show you a home of chaos. You ask a child to do something and they don't do it. And so you ask them again and they don't do it. And then you begin to speak in a louder, more sarcastic, more mean-spirited voice. And they still don't obey. And you just see where this thing goes. But what's happening is in that environment, sin is growing exponentially. And it doesn't stop when they're three. It keeps going. All into life. God loves order. Number three, God wants your children to obey because He wants them to trust Him. Notice this in our text. Verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And where does He get that from? He gets that from honor your father and your mother. I want you to notice that what He's doing is not merely giving external requirements. He's pushing for something to happen in the heart of children. It takes you can obey externally, but honor happens in the heart. And so notice he's aimed at the heart, but notice what he wants to do in the heart. So he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and you may live long on the earth. So just think about how this happens. So he had a really cool playground. And a mama says, honey, it's time to go. In that moment, as you train your children to obey, notice what you're training them to do. Because in that moment, what that kid believes is that it's going to go well with me if I stay right here on this playground. Right? And so I'm willing to do anything to stay on this playground, including kick and scream and lock my body up and lay on the ground and call my mama really mean things. But notice, as you train your children to obey, what you're really training them to do is to trust the Lord. Because everything in their heart says it's going to go well with you. Everything in their heart says where the good life is where I'm free from God. But what we're calling our children to do is to trust the Lord. And He says, no, here's where the good life is. The good life is lived in obedience to your parents. You want the good life, then obey your children. And I'm making you a promise, because it's going to go well with you, and so that you'll live long on the earth. Which leads me to the fourth reason that God really wants your children to obey, and that is because He loves your children. Look at this again. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may live long on the earth. We're going to talk about this more in just a minute, but I just want to encourage you that you are not being mean by training your children to obey. This lie that freedom exists when we shed God's requirements over us is a lie. It's not just a lie, it is the lie, right? This is the lie that the human race has been confronted with since Genesis chapter 3. That real freedom is when you rid yourself of God. No, the Bible says no. Where you want to be, where real freedom is when you're living in joyful obedience to Him. So if you love your children, then teach them the character of God, and then teach them to obey. Which brings me to the next foundation. So TLC, teaching. Specifically, teaching your children to obey. Secondly, the second foundation stone is love. Part of this needs no, we don't need to spend a lot of time here, because love between a parent and a child often, normally, comes so naturally. But it doesn't always happen. When a kid lives without knowing in their heart of hearts that their parent loves them, we do incredible damage to our children. I was already a mess. But I grew up not knowing about where I stood with one of my parents. And it made I was already a mess. But it made an even bigger mess. We need to notice what Paul is calling us to. He wants us to create an environment in our homes where our children know, in the midst of teaching and in the midst of correction, that they know that they know that they know that they know that they are loved. Isn't this how the Father loves us? Think about this. Again, going back to our memory work in Ephesians chapter 1. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him, in love He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, You think about that. That God is creating an environment of lavish love that does not depend on the performance of the child. How do I know that? Because Ephesians chapter 1 says He decided to love us when? Before the foundation of the world. Long before the child had done anything good or bad. Long before you were even able to earn any kind of love from Him. Long before you performed, God set His affection on you. That's an environment of radical, lavish love. And notice that He did it. It says that He chose us in Him. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, already knowing our sin, verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. That's an environment of incredible love that we need to create for our children. Here's just one little side note. And I need to hear this. That loving our children is not the same as pacifying our children. Loving our children is not the same as pacifying our children. You think of Proverbs 29, the rod and the reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. Correction needed, but all of it happening. Listen, I love you when you're doing what mommy says, and I love you when you're not doing what mommy says. An environment of unconditional, lavish love. We notice finally, training or teaching, loving, correcting. Here's final. This single command it's given to children in Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And here's a news flash. If you're parents, you probably know this won't come as great surprise to you. But your children don't naturally do Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. Verse 1. Obey chapter 6, verse 1. Children don't naturally obey their parents just because it is right. If you have a child that just naturally obeys you, he's probably so riddled with pride that it's absolutely displeasing to the Lord. Which means that we parents are going to have to spend lots of time correcting. Lots of time where we're saying no. Lots of times where we're saying no and we're correcting. I just want to just encourage you that you're not crazy and that your child is not a freak. He or she is merely a descendant of Adam who's been entrusted to you to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. This is very clear from verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. There's lots of other places. Proverbs 13, he who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. The writer of Hebrews says that all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. But to those who are trained by it, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. So, just notice what's happening here. In chapter 4, this is why, by the way, if you're a parent and you don't have a copy of Shepherding a Child's Heart, I encourage you to get it. Here is one thing from that book that has stuck to me, and I am so thankful that he pointed this out. Notice what's happening here. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. We need to notice that correction is not revenge. What correction is, notice what's happening. Correction is not even punishment. God has made a promise to your children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is the first commandment with a promise so that it may go well with you. And in this book, he paints a beautiful picture that this is the umbrella. Obedience is the umbrella under which children get to enjoy the blessing of the Lord. when they're obeying their parents. And so if we love our children, when our children stray away from that umbrella, out from under God's blessing, what are we going to do? We're going to go after them. We're going to go on a rescue mission to correct the child. And correction is discipline is never joyful. If your correction doesn't hurt, then it's not correction. But what we're doing is we're reaching out for our children to bring them back under the blessing. This is why that this is not about revenge. This is not me correcting my child and then living where there's a distance between us. No, it's correcting our child and then reminding our child of how much we love them under that correction. Teaching our children, loving our children, correcting our children. And just step back for a second and see what we're saying. We're saying, Mamas, you have cosmic work. You have been called by God to join Him in the mission of the universe to bring all things under Christ. He has given us, not just told us what to do, but He has shown us by His own example of what faithful parenting looks like as He parents us by teaching us, by loving us unconditionally, and then by correcting us when we stray away from Him. Therefore, we need to get our cues from Him. We need to parent our children the way He parents His children. Diligently teaching them. Lavishly loving them. And offering much needed correction. Let's pray. Father in Heaven, we're going to sing it in just a minute. We just say right now, Lord, we need You. We need You every day to teach us the gospel. We need You every day to remind us of Your love for us. And God, we need You to correct us. Father, I pray that You would teach us to parent our children as an overflow of the gospel. And Father, I pray that You would work, that You would do the internal work that we simply cannot do. We cannot change our children's hearts. They are their own little individuals with their own ideas, their own thoughts, their own struggles, their own secrets. Father, we need You to work. So we pray that You would empower us to be servants and stewards. We pray that You would make us dependent servants and stewards who drink deeply of Your gospel, who enjoy Your love, who praise You for Your correction, and then who pour it out on our children. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.